the east, knowing no one else than our brother and our father in the Lord, Evangelist Heshimo Kula.
You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here. My name is Heshimo. And if I had known I had some freedom with the subject, I would have preached on marriage. But I asked our sister Jamila, and she told me that the theme was, He is coming. So I will bring in some of the things on marriage, but you can open, it's in the Revelation in chapter 1. And I appreciate your invitation. I had actually prayed in order to address you, and the Lord made it happen. It's from Revelations 1, and I want to read in verse number 1 through 3. Also to thank our pastor and the board who accepted me here to speak. It's Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must take place shortly. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The time is near. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that as we consider these things, your Holy Spirit would guide us and would teach us the truth, and to give us the things of the gospel that we need to have a happy and a holy life. Happy first. As we consider these things about marriage within our text, may Christ be clear and may Christ be preached unto the glory of God. Amen. If the theme I have is, and I'm going to throw her under the bus again, it's because of our sister Jamila, is the time is near. So I hope that God speaks unto us by the gospel. One is the time is near as a fact. It's a fact that the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and it is imminent. The time is near. There are many people who try to weasel out of the way of the coming judgment. There are people who believe everything in the gospel almost except for the fact he's coming back again to judge this world. And they are afraid of the judgment, and so they put their head in the sand. And if my accent is strange, I apologize, but it's how I sound, it's how I talk. And your accent is strange, yes, as well. But I hear and I listen. And so please try to listen well. It's a little bit strange as to how I speak. I'm a black American, and so we talk. Unlike CNN, we don't speak like that at home. But if the judgment is near and it's imminent, it's coming, it's happening. And so don't try to avoid it by hiding your head in the sand. If the story is told, and I don't know if it's true, is the ostrich will put his head in the sand even when the lion is coming. It would be better he run. Big feet, he has some long legs, he has some talons, and if he runs, if he can slice open that lion, if he puts his head in the sand, he dies. Just because he cannot see the lion, it doesn't mean that the lion, it cannot see him. So the judgment day is coming, and the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and that is a fact as to whether we like it or not. And the best thing to do is to be ready and to be prepared. As scripture says, prepare to meet your God. And you don't prepare by putting your head in the sand. It's repentance, it's faith, it's godliness. Point number two, and I only have these three points, is he's coming back because of the resurrection. It's the resurrection from the dead is the proof that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming back unto the glory of God. It's the proof that everything he says is true, that he has satisfied the justice of God and the wrath of God. He's made peace. He has assuaged, he has taken away the anger and the wrath of God. And that's why God has raised him up from the dead. And that is the guarantee he's coming back, because he is alive from the dead at the right hand of God. Often we preach Christ or we think about Christ as a past event, but he's a coming Savior, he's a coming King, he's alive right now, and he's waiting. And the picture of heaven is he's expecting until his enemies shall be made his footstool. He's waiting, but it's kind of like he's on the edge of his seat. And that thought is good for me and you, because it makes me think, I've got to get ready, and I've got to get everybody else to be ready too. This thing about death, it makes me think of my own personal relationship with God. I'm going to meet God. I only have a little bit of time. But the thing about him coming back makes me think about everybody else, because he's coming back to judge this world in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God or obey his gospel. So it's serious business. Is to get ready, and it is to make everybody else ready that you can. What manner of persons ought me and you be? Then, point number three is this. One, two, three. He's coming back like a thief in the night. And that's my diligence, that's my preparation. But you'll find out a thing. Is you are quiet. Is you are still. Am I disturbing you? Is you hearing me well? Is you hear my English? And you hear my gospel. I'm preaching good news and glad tidings, and you look a little bit morbid. You ought to be happier and more excited. He's coming back to save you and me from sin in this world, and to bring us into hallelujah, into praising God forever and ever, if we are ready. If we are ready. Now, if you're unready and you're disturbed, that's a good thing.
care even more. He is coming back unto judge this world in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. What manner of persons ought me and you unto be in all holiness and godliness? How should me and you live to save other people's souls? He's coming back. The time is short. Other people's souls. And it's a verse that's in the book of First. It's 1 Corinthians in chapter 7. Now, this will apply towards marriage, so I'm sure that you will perk up and listen. It's in verse number 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none. Hear me on this. It's important. Especially with you younger people. I've been there. I got the gray hairs. That proves it. I didn't always look like this. I used to be young too. But I used to think, like so many of you, that in order to be happy, I needed to have a wife. Is I needed to have somebody to hold on to at night. But I did not think that God was sufficient, because I was deceived by my culture and my own lust. That is to be married is good, the Bible says, right? But to be single is better. Who believes that? It's the oldest singles have to. But if we have learned, if we live our life devoted unto Jesus Christ, if we make him everything, if we live to bring him glory, if we live to bring other people unto Jesus Christ, our life is full. And Paul says, even if you are married, is you're to be as if you don't have a wife. Which means, even after you've loved her, even after you kissed her, even after you saved her some of your cake or swallow, you still have to go out and save the world. It's the mission has not changed after me and you get married. And I see so many married people who make their lives a shipwreck, because in their life it becomes all about serving her wife, her husband, and they forget God. They were singles who looked good in the church, but they forgot it after marriage because they only did it to attract a husband or a wife. But when the gospel is in the heart with power, and a man or a woman is actually and truly living to serve God, the Holy Spirit there and his presence is life. The joy in the Christian life is God. It does not come from other things. It comes from Christ himself. And then if we have that, that's when we can enjoy other things as a husband and a wife and a spouse. It's because God is on top. And that's what makes our homes happy. Christ is in the middle, is we're living as husband and wife as if he's coming back. And we're all about that diligence to get the gospel out to people with everything we can. That's who God works with. That's who he's inside of, with power. If you trust in Jesus Christ and the blood he shed, and you're living to save others by the power of the Holy Spirit, then God is with you in mind. And he is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. Who believes that? He is the one that makes us happy. And if you have Christ, if you have a good spouse, is you're happy. If you have Christ and you don't have any spouse, is you know what Paul says? You're happier. It's true, I believe it. So I'm going to serve God until I get what Christ is giving me on this earth. And if he does not give it, I'm going to serve God until I get what Christ is giving me, which is himself. So the time is short, oh. Be about that business. Be about that life. Be obsessed with him. And love him and serve him and be about his gospel. And he will give you life that's everlasting. And he'll be all about joy and peace inside your heart. You'll experience it every day with power, and you'll stay with. Is you going to stay so near unto him because he makes you happy? Happy. And nothing else will. And then, is when you get to heaven, is you'll be in paradise forever. If the time is short, Lord, get ready unto meet your God and prepare properly. And you'll be happy inside your soul. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. As I have myself timed.
Put your hands together once again. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.